Joining me then now on Cheshire Soot 106.9 is Amanda Stoneham from Compassionate Care. Amanda, you're the CEO of the company. And I just want to ask you first of all, because I know we've had a chat before, but you didn't set out initially, did you, to set up an amazing company? You just wanted to do something nice.
Absolutely, yeah. I decided to go self-employed, having worked in care for many, many years in different guises, residential homes, nursing homes, home care. I'd done a bit of everything and really had the heart for care, but didn't like what I was experiencing with different employers. It was all very much time and task, run in, run out, do the bare minimum and get to your next client. And just decided in a kind of light bulb moment that actually what I wanted to do was just work for myself, have a handful of clients and kind of set out with, if I can help 5 clients and give them a really high quality level of care, then that's it. My heart is happy and I've fulfilled my calling in life as such.
And I think the big thing here, Amanda, is the fact that looking through different media outlets and different things, we see a lot of horror or hear a lot of horror stories, don't we, about levels of care and different things that's happening. So was that part of the catalyst then that kind of made you think, do you know what, I want to do this and I want to give my love and attention to people that need it and do something slightly different from the norm?
Absolutely. It was twofold, really. So, yes, it was on the back of all the horrible things I'd seen, but it was also on the back of my mum passed away when I was 19, and we had a care agency in who supported me in looking after her. And it was actually one of the carers there that really connected with my mum. And she told me one day, she said, I gave your mum a facial. And I kind of reeled in horror. My mum never really looked after herself. She never went to the hairdressers, painted her nails, did any of the kind of glam things that we do these days. And the carer said she'd given her a facial, and she said she absolutely loved it. And I found out after my mum had passed that she'd shared some really quite sensitive information with the carer about her illness and what she was going through, information that she hadn't shared with me, obviously in a protective way because I was the youngest daughter, but she felt she was able to open up to the care. And I thought that connection was valuable. It was so valuable for my mum. And if I can give that connection to other people that perhaps need to offload, can't share it with family members for whatever reason, then actually that makes such a difference to somebody either in their final days, final weeks, or just as they're going through their later years. So yes, it was kind of twofold. It was about doing it better than I'd ever seen it done before, and all the things that I'd seen done so horrendously wrong, putting all that right and making sure we did it phenomenally well, but also about being almost that surrogate daughter for people that life is so busy these days. Often a lot of family members don't have that time, so to have a carer coming in who your mum, dad, grandma, who thoroughly enjoys that visit, that makes such a difference to more than the client's life, but the family members as well.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big things, isn't it? I shared a story with you last week when we spoke that my grandma, before she passed away and went into a care home, we had carers come in 3 or 4 times a day, and the carers were wonderful. They really were lovely. And they would come in and they would do all the necessity jobs they needed, make sure she'd got some food, everywhere was clean, my grandma was clean, and they'd sit and have a chat with her, and bless her, she probably didn't know that they'd been in 3 hours before and all this type of stuff. But I think from a family perspective, to know that somebody had gone in and was just doing a little bit to give us a breather, and I know that sounds terrible, but sometimes we forget, don't we, that the family who are looking after, like you said, your mum, people's grandmas, aunties, uncles, mums and dads and all this type, also need that care and support, don't they? And am I right in saying that this is I said before, didn't I, the catalyst behind getting a different level of caring, because you guys go in and do extra things that you wouldn't necessarily think about. And when we spoke last week, I said to you that these are the simple things. These are things that don't cost any money or any time. They're just little things. So what I want to get at, what I'm trying to get at, going around the houses, is that before COVID-19 then, when you started doing your caring and the business started to grow, what are you doing different to what many other care facilities may offer?
And, you know, it's a question I've been asked so many times, you know, what makes us different? What is our USP? And it's quite difficult to answer, but we actually genuinely care. And it is, you're dead right, it's those little things. If you've got an extra 5 minutes, would Dorothy like her nails painted? Would she like some perfume on today? Would she like, you know, a little conversation instead of thinking, oh, I've got 5 minutes, I can go to my next client and get there a bit earlier and not have to rush as much. It's about when we walk through that door, you are the only person in the world that matters to us. We're not going to tell you about the really horrendously busy morning we've had before we got to you and how bad the traffic was. It's about that the minute that door closes behind us, you are the only person that counts in the entire world. And it is just those little things that makes a difference. And it makes a difference, but it's a huge difference it makes to them. And as a carer, the satisfaction you get when you leave that home in knowing that you've just found out something extra about Betty that you've been to see, and you didn't know that she was a policewoman when she was 22 and she was involved in the riots or whatever it might be. It's that feeling that you get in your heart when you walk away knowing you've just made that lady's life or that chap's life just that little bit better for those 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I remember being a kid and going around to my grandparents and my granddad telling me stories about the war and different things. And I suppose when we get older, it's very easy to let life get on top of us and take control of our destination and how quick. And like you said, you can go to an appointment and think, oh, I've saved 5 minutes, I'll get to the next one, I'll be able to pull another 5 minutes, I can finish early. And that's not what you guys offer, is it? Because to me, I think the most heartwarming thing that I liked about the way my grandma was cared for was the fact that when the carers went in, A, she wasn't on her own, and B, they would sit down, have a cup of tea with her, talk to her. They'd put some flowers in the living room, or they'd spray a bit of air freshener around just to make the house smell nice. Like you said, give her a bit of a manicure and put a bit of perfume on. And these little things we take for granted because we just chuck them on every day. I chuck a bit of aftershave on, I come to work. But ultimately, these people that are getting that support, it gives me as a grandson or a son, it gives me peace of mind to know there are companies out there that actually, when you walk in and see my grandma, you actually care. You give a damn about how she is, what her day's like, and learn a bit about her. And that's why you stand out, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think I told you last week we had a comment from a lady whose mum was having service with a short-term service, and the lady actually requested that we continue service with her mum and was quite adamant and quite desperate that we continued that service with her. And I had to stop her and say, what is it about our service that is so different to what you've had before? And she said that we've had 4 companies prior to Compassionate Care and nobody does it the way you do. The people are just so right and fit, and they're right in that role, and they are just perfect. They absolutely love the job, and that just emanates from them in every single thing that they do. And there was an interview I did on Sky News during the week, and they said, you know, care's not glamorous, why would you want to do care? And it's not about whether it's glamorous or not, it's about actually when you're fulfilling your passion and that's your calling, it doesn't matter whether it's glamorous, whether it's dirty work. Actually, what matters is the dignity and the privacy and the care you give to that person, and just knowing that whether it's personal care or whether it's going out for lunch with them or making them a meal and giving them the medication, actually you're helping somebody, and the fulfillment and the joy that gives you, if you are in the right role, you will know very, very quickly whether that's for you. If you're not, you're going to know equally as quickly. But the team that we employ very much are handpicked, and it is about, would I accept this person providing care for my mum? And if I wouldn't, then I'm not going to accept that person giving care to your mum either.
And I think that one of the things that comes across from speaking to Amanda today, and obviously last week when we did a chat, is the passion and the desire to just do the job with love. That's that's the one thing that comes across to me. But I've got to ask you, how did you go from, I'm just going to do this on my own and give a little bit of love and attention, to where you are now? How does that happen?
It was very organically. The catalyst to that was I fell pregnant with my son and was still working right throughout the pregnancy and had a handful of clients, and I was working 14-hour days. I was the only employee, and my clients started to get worried about me, and I'd go in to see Doreen, and she would say, Amanda, you sit down, I'll put the kettle on. And I'd go, hang on a minute, I'm here to do that for you, not the other way around. You shouldn't be looking after me. So it was apparent that they were, the further I got through the pregnancy, the more they would actually worry about me and my abilities and the baby. So I said, actually, do you know what, at this point, I need to become an employer and take somebody on to cover my small amount of clients. From there, that then just grew, and the more capacity I had with employees, obviously that meant we could reach more people with the service that we delivered. So it grew accidentally. There was no vision at the outset to say, yes, I want to grow a huge company in 10 years' time and be looking after 200 people. That's just grown by natural reputation and doing it right. I think I said to you last week, we've never advertised. If you know about us, you know about us. If you don't, unfortunately, you don't. And now we need to reach more people, because actually the service we deliver is phenomenal, and I'm so proud of the teams that deliver it, and I know that any single one of them could go into my family and I would be absolutely okay with the service that they provide, because their ethos, their vision and their values are equal to mine.
Amanda, it's a wonderful story how you've grown a company from an idea to something phenomenal and huge around the county. What I wanted to ask you now, though, was obviously you will have seen and gone through many trials and tribulations during the last decade of building compassionate care, but how has COVID-19 affected or forced you into changing what you do? Or, in fact, has it made you change?
I think everybody's had to change, Mike. We've changed a lot in terms of processes and procedures. Obviously, we're a people business. Everything we do is face-to-face. So even our interview process has had to go digital, video interviews, everything being done online. A lot has changed. We've had to become slicker with our procedures and the processes that we operate throughout the business. In terms of the care that we deliver, it hasn't changed, other than obviously everybody has a lot more PPE and protective equipment with them. But in terms of the service delivery, I would quite confidently say the clients at the other side haven't seen much change. Actually, for what it's done for us in the back office and behind the scenes, it means we've become very, very slick and organised in what we do and how we deliver it.
And I know you just touched on it there, but I've got to ask you, because obviously PPE has been something that's been huge across the media during this COVID-19 pandemic. How have you guys been with regards to supplies and getting it in? Was it slow? Was it quick? Or have you kind of, you've got what you've got and you've made it last?
We've done really, really well. So it's been a mixture of all those things. There are times, currently, there seems to be a lack of vinyl gloves, medium-sized, randomly. So it's kind of peaks and troughs. We've been really well supported by the local authorities. We work with Trafford, we work with Cheshire East, we work with Derbyshire. They've been really, really supportive in sending supplies, obviously, when they get them. It's been a bit of a battle in terms of ordering our own. There's a lot of suppliers, if you've not ordered with them before, they won't let you order with them. So there's been lots of kind of to-ing and fro-ing on the phone, and just ploughing through it, really, and ordering enough for when we know we can get an order from a supplier, and making sure that lasts and we're on top of it, ready to get the next order in.
Yeah, because I know, like I say, PPE has been one of those things in the media quite often. So it's great that you've got so much fantastic support from local authorities. And what I want to ask you now is, what does the future hold then, Amanda? Because, as I say, and we keep repeating this, because I think it's just, it's not a rags to riches story, but it's that type of ethos, with the fact that this was a great idea that you just wanted to do something, A, for yourself, to go self-employed, knowing you got all this love and care and attention to give to people that needed it, and it's just absolutely exploded into something amazing. What now, as the CEO of the company, what now does the future hold for compassionate care?
I think we can only get bigger and we can only get better. It's more for me now. We need to reach more people. And every day I hear stories, and only this week, actually, there's been a provider who can no longer provide service. So we got a phone call at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night and took over all of their service from 7 o'clock Wednesday morning. And the stories you hear about the care people have been receiving or the lack of care people have been receiving just motivates me to go, do you know what, we need to reach more people. I am so confident and so proud of my team that I know we can expand on the on everything we've learned over the last decade, how to do it right, how to back it up with a process and a procedure. Now, actually, we just need to grow that, and we need to let more people know that you don't have to put up with substandard care. There is an alternative out there. There is a better offering out there, and we need to let more people know that we exist.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I already know the answer to this because we had this conversation last week. But what's the competition like? I know the answer, but what is the competition like for compassionate care?
I would say there is no competition. Obviously, there are lots of people providing care, lots of companies that on paper do what we do. I think if it, the difficulty thing is there's no benchmark for any care provision and what it should look like. You will only know the difference once you've experienced it. For us, I know that our quality level is second to none. Our bar is set far higher than anybody else's. So even in the occasions that we do drop for whatever reason, we're still far higher than everybody else. So in terms of competition, yes, on paper there are lots of companies doing it, but nobody does it the way we do it.
And looking at the care itself then, so if somebody, for example, was looking for respite care and wanted a couple of weeks to trial your services and, as you say, experience why you guys are so amazing and so different, is that a facility you offer? Is there a short-term option they can do to see what it's like before getting into something more longer-term? What services are you providing specifically?
100%. There's no contract whatsoever. I've got clients that have been with us for 10 years. I've got clients that have been with us for 10 days. There is no contract at all. So you could try us for a day and say, actually, no, it's not for me. You're not tied into anything. It's about people. It's not about commercials and finances and tying people into hidden contracts. It is what it is. We do what we say on the tin. If you want care, whether it be an ad hoc, one-off visit, once a week, once a month, once a year, or you want us every single day of the week, the options are there. We tailor it to you and don't tie you into anything.
So, for example, then, if somebody was working, they work weekends, and during the week they can look after their mum or their grandma, and then on a Saturday and Sunday, because they're at work, they needed your support, they could get in touch, you guys could go in, support them for the weekend, they take over Monday to Friday, you can come back in at the weekend. Or if, for example, my grandma, we were looking after her most of the time and went on holiday, you could come in and support us while we were away. Those type of things can happen.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. It can be short-term, long-term, somewhere in between. It can be, yeah, as much or as little as you want, as often as you want. Initially, we'll call it an assessment. It's not scary or formal, but to find out a bit more about your grandma, what she likes, what she doesn't like, what she needs whilst we're there, any extras we can provide within that time that we've given. And it can be as much or as little as you want, absolutely.
Fantastic. Now, just two final questions, Amanda, before I let you go. The first one being, if somebody wanted an assessment or just some advice on getting a bit of care for somebody they loved, what do they need to do?
Just phone us, phone the office, and we'll arrange for you can have a telephone assessment, a Zoom assessment. We're getting very good at digital now. You can have whatever you want. Just come and ring us, chat to us, pop by in the office, and we'll take you through any advice you need. There's no obligation whatsoever. There's no hard sell. If you just want to ring up people, phone us, and they've got other carers in from other companies and they just want a bit of advice or to offload, ask questions, we're here. We'll always help, regardless of whether you are or aren't a client or a future client. And ordinarily what happens post-COVID-19, we would come out, meet with you, meet with your family member, take some more information, and it's an equal decision. Are we right for you? Are you right for us? Have we got the right skills to make sure we can give you what you need in terms of that care and support? And providing, obviously, everybody's happy, then we can commence care.
Fantastic. And final question from me then. If there is somebody listening who is working for a care facility and feels like they can give just so much more. But because of the time constraints and all the administration and politics behind everything else, feel like they want a new challenge, or somebody who's in a career that maybe thinks, do you know what, like Amanda, I feel like I've got something different to give and I want to go into the care industry. What would you advise them to do, and would you have opportunities that they could get involved in?
Absolutely. So I always say to staff, to clients, to family members, if it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. Your gut instinct tells you a lot. So if you are working for somebody and you're feeling like the practices just don't marry with your ethos, then it's probably time to get out. So call us, have a chat. Again, there's no obligation. We're not right for everybody. Not everybody's right for us. So it's a two-way thing. Call us, let's have a chat, and we can take it from there.
That's wonderful. That's Amanda Stoneham, the CEO of Compassionate Care. Amanda, just finally, what areas are you covering for anybody who's listening?
South Manchester, so Sale, Altrincham, Hale, Bowden, Timperley. We also work in Glossop and surrounding areas, and Cheshire East, Knutsford, Macclesfield, those kind of areas.
Fantastic. As I say, that's Amanda Stoneham, the CEO of Compassionate Care. If you are looking for a different level, out of this world form of care, then you can go to compassionatecareltd.co.uk or give them a call on 0161 929 6039.